Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 124 of the Veeam Community Podcast. My name is Clint Wyckoff, and I'll be your host today. The topic that we're going to be discussing is Microsoft Azure Stack. And I was actually at a community event in Melbourne, Australia very recently, where I was able to catch up with Thomas Maurer. Thomas is a Microsoft MVP in the cloud and data center management space. He specializes on System Center, Azure, as well as Hyper-V technologies. He was recently at the Azure Airlift in Redmond, Washington, so I was very fortunate to be able to catch up with him at Experts Live in Melbourne. But before we get to the topic at hand here, you know, everybody is well aware of the VeeamON event that's coming up. And in case you didn't know, you know, VeeamON is May 16th through the 18th in New Orleans, Louisiana. If you're interested in learning more about it, seeing any of the breakout sessions, because all the sessions have been loaded to the website, you can head out to VeeamON.com. And you'll want to be on the lookout during the event. My colleague, who also is a host of the Veeam Community Podcast, Michael Cade, and I are going to be doing several live stream sessions to the Veeam Facebook account, as well as to the Veeam YouTube channel. We're going to be doing daily recaps, as well as interviews with a lot of the presenters and things that are there, meeting with the folks of Lab Wars, the Hands-On Labs. There's a lot of really cool stuff that's going to be happening at VeeamON. So if you're able to make it, you definitely want to look for Michael and I so we can have a chat with you. But if you're not able to make it, like I said, you're going to want to keep your eye out on the social media for some of the live sessions that Michael and I are going to be hosting there. So like I mentioned just a few seconds ago, head out to VeeamON.com to learn more about VeeamON as well as the sessions, which ones you would want to be attending. You know, feel free to hit us up on Twitter via social media. You know, let us know what you think of the sessions, the speakers, things of that nature, and we'll see you there. Without further ado, here is the interview that I conducted with Thomas Maurer at Experts Live in Melbourne, Australia. I hope you enjoy. Today I'm in Melbourne, Australia at a fantastic community event called Experts Live. And I'm actually joined by one of the very famous MVPs in the community, Thomas Maurer.
Oh, thanks.
Absolutely. It's been a while since we've last caught up, Thomas. What have you been up to?
Yeah, well, I've done quite a few deployments and worked with quite a few customers, all over with Windows Server 2016 and Azure and all that kind of cool stuff. So that was, I think, the things I did until we saw each other. I think that was in SCU Europe like a couple of years ago or 2 years ago.
That was the last time we chatted here, yeah. You know, together. But I think the last time we saw each other was actually at MVP Summit.
True. Yeah. That's true.
So you mentioned you're doing a lot of deployments of Windows Server 2016. Are you seeing a lot of uplift of that, like in your area in Europe?
Yeah. So especially in Switzerland, we can, well, it's always hard to say, but especially in Hyper-V customers and virtualization customers or like service providers, like the new Hyper-V features, Nano Server and Storage Spaces Direct are huge features which are a lot of people are very interested in, and we can see a high demand on that one.
Yeah, that's great. Actually, the reason that I'm here to talk with you today is not about necessarily Windows Server 2016 itself, but we're hearing a lot from Microsoft and their hardware partners about something really new that's coming out called Azure Stack. Now, Azure Stack is something that's not available yet, or it is available?
So the thing about Azure Stack is that it is available as a technical preview for like single node deployments. So they call it the Azure Stack POC.
Okay.
I think they are now with technical preview 3. This will be the last technical preview which will be available and before they release it. And then there will be the multi-node release in mid-2017. Yeah.
So multi-node. So maybe for the viewers out there, you know, there's been a lot of interest and buzz, I think, previously about Windows Azure Pack. So what's kind of the difference between Azure Stack and Azure Pack?
Yeah. So in terms of the goal for both products was to have a consistent experience or an extension of Azure in your data center. Like, this is still the same message, right? But the main difference here is Windows Azure Pack was basically a thing, a software package that you could download, and then together with System Center and Windows Server, you could build your own cloud based on Windows Azure Pack. Azure Stack, the main difference here, will be delivered as an appliance.
Okay.
So this is basically just like a couple of vendors. Today it's HP, Lenovo, and Dell.
Mm-hmm.
And like later this year will be also Cisco,
right,
which will really bring appliances to the market, which you buy them and you buy Azure Stack from them.
Right. So it's pre-configured, pre-deployed. So I think, you know, previously Azure Pack was based on, you know, the classic deployment models with inside Azure.
Yeah.
Whereas Azure Stack is based on the resource manager. So if a customer is deploying applications and services inside of Azure today, do you think the look, the smell, the feel is the same, the difference between Azure Stack and Azure? What's...
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So it was in Azure Pack, it was a little bit the classic portal, as they call it. And then there was, and Azure Stack now really tries to be or is consistent with Azure itself, with the new resource manager model and everything. So as you said, you can basically use Azure resource templates, use them against Azure, but you can use also the same template against the on-premise Azure Stack installation or an Azure Stack installation which runs on a service provider. Wherever it is, you have really this consistent deployment method. And even like the portal and everything looks basically the same. You cannot really tell if you see the portal if it's Azure Stack or Azure, except for the little logo.
In the corner, right, there's the difference.
Exactly, exactly.
So you mentioned a couple of different things there that I want to highlight, or maybe dig a little bit deeper into, if you don't mind, is... You know, you said templates. So if you're, you know, a customer is writing, or a service provider, for instance, is writing JSON templates to deploy applications, services, virtual machines in Azure, they're able to utilize those with Azure Stack?
Absolutely, yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. So if you write something today in Azure and you... going to plan to build a solution based on Azure Stack, you can basically use the same templates you do, you run on Azure, you can run them on Azure Stack. There are a couple of small changes you have to make because of like location, things like this, but basically you can use the whole construct. So if you really want to get ready for Azure Stack, then what you really should do today is like play with Azure, go start template, create templates on Azure, work with that, work with Azure Resource Manager, and then you can also leverage all that know-how. Everything you have built, you can basically use that on Azure Stack as well.
So do you see kind of the interest being more on the service provider side of the fence or larger enterprises? Or where do you see kind of the sweet spot for Azure Stack? And where do you think it'll be most successful?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's for me, it's not who is going to really deploy it, if it's a service provider or enterprise company. It's really, you have some reasons why you probably want to have an Azure Stack, right? So I'm coming from a company, Switzerland, which is has quite some legal obligations, right? So you have, for example, like compliance stuff, which things have to stay inside Switzerland, and some parts can go out, but some parts can't. And then you basically cannot use Azure because Azure is not... available in Switzerland as a data center. So the location of the data center is probably some West Europe, it's Amsterdam or in Dublin or in Germany and things like that. But it's not available in Switzerland. So that's one option. So if you build then an Azure Stack, you can go to a service provider and leverage Azure Stack there, or the company can even have their own Azure Stack and leverage that in their own data center as they would with Azure and just in their location, right? And the other thing is technical requirements.
Right.
So today... if you look at newborn in the cloud applications, latent, they are built for internet latency, right? For like large latency. But if you look, have a look at different kind of application, network latency really becomes critical, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really, sometimes it really depends on a couple of milliseconds if an application is successful or not. And how closer you get to your data center and...
The better, absolutely. Exactly. Reduce the latency to the, from a user perspective as much as possible and get that application as close to them as you can.
Exactly. And that could be another reason why you probably want to go with Azure Stack as well. So there are a couple of things of that. This can be enterprise companies. This can be service providers. So we can see a huge interest from different... really from different customers' fields.
Right. So, you know, that's really interesting because you're able to, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, so you can have, you know, Azure Stack deployments across multiple regions across the world, and then as users connect into those applications and services, depending on where their location is, depends on where the application kind of gets served from.
Exactly. That's how it works. Like it would work in Azure, where you also have different regions and things like that. You can deploy on the closest region where a user will access it.
Right.
And you can basically start doing that with Azure Stack as well.
Now, that's a great concept. And as you mentioned, from an end user perspective, they get the best experience possible. Another thing that you mentioned earlier was the hardware vendors. And this is a kind of a key piece that I think that folks really need to understand is the configurations and how are they offered. So you mentioned, I think, Dell, HP, Lenovo, those are the first three that signed up to offer that. Is this CPS, the cloud platform services? Is it different than that?
So it's kind of like CPS, right? In terms of it's also an integrated system. So it comes with a pre-architected, predefined, pre-configured, pre-installed solution, right? Mm-hmm. So everything is basically done. You give them just information how you want to hook it up to your data center, what's really specific for you. But that's basically it. And then everything gets validated and things like that. And this makes it much more simpler to operate, and you don't have to do any architectural design.
It's already done for you.
Exactly. And it's validated, right? It's something you know it works because there are other 100 customers out there running the same thing, exactly the same configuration, the same firmware and drivers, the same patch levels and things like that, and the same configuration out there. And so you can really make sure that everything just works. Because when you build everything from scratch, you have to take care of so many things which do not really add value to your environment sometimes, right? If I choose this driver or this driver, it can only cause me problems, right? That's the thing. And in that scenario, integrated systems really help with that.
Right. So the integrated systems, Microsoft controls the drivers, the BIOS, the firmware, the hardware vendor does.
So Microsoft works very close with the hardware vendors. So what they have to go through, so Microsoft tells them how the design should look like, basically, how they think the Azure Stack design should look like. And basically, just to mention that, in the background, it's using Windows Server 2016. Mm-hmm. It's using Hyper-V storage spaces direct. And that's what Microsoft gives you the design, what it should look like. And then the hardware vendors tell them which hardware they're going to use. So, for example, HP will use two UE servers. They're DL380 or something like that. And the others will also use that as well. And then Microsoft will has a validation toolkit to validate the installation and simulate, basically, years of usage and make sure that everything really works and there is no failure on disk drives or other hardware parts.
Right, that's a large, important piece, especially as you're building out that core infrastructure fabric. That's really great information, but do you think that, and, you know, this is obviously in the opinion of Thomas Meyer and not Microsoft.
Exactly.
Do you think that that kind of sealed configuration is going to maybe limit adoption of Azure Stack or focus it more on large enterprises and service providers?
Well, in my opinion, that's the sealed thing. At the beginning, the messaging was not quite clear from Microsoft, to be honest. That's why people were thinking it's kind of like Windows Azure Pack, right? Mm-hmm. But as soon as they will understand that this will take away complexity and as they see that it will also save them some costs, they will understand and they will use it. So I don't think it's going to be a deal breaker because suddenly you want to use that cloud method, right? And you can start, the smallest deployment is 4 nodes. So it's a very small deployment. It's very lightweight. You don't have to invest a lot of money for your first deployment. Of course, for very small deployments with a 2-node or something, it's not meant to be, right? But it's still 4 nodes. It's a very small deployment, and you can run Azure services on top of that. What I really think is Azure Stack might be not like for everyone, right? So if you're not in that cloud methodology, you're not using that cloud, you don't want to use ARM templates and things like that, like Azure Pack and traditional workload virtualization, like with System Center and Hyper-V, it's probably a better solution for you.
Sure. And even as you mentioned another technology in their earlier Storage Spaces Direct, you know, those are brand new things inside of Windows Server 2016 that are specific to Hyper-V, where Azure Stack might not make the most sense because you don't need that kind of management layer over top, right? You still can get the benefits without having to worry about that. So, you know, for, you know, like protecting workloads, things like that running on Azure Stack, you know, how do you see kind of the best approach in your testing that you've done? You know, because as folks virtualize these things and run these applications on top of Azure Stack, you know, how do you see kind of the best approach to protect that data?
Yeah, so today Azure Stack will not offer directly backup solution in there. And the hosts are obviously sealed, so we are not allowed, or no one is really allowed to install any software on it, on that. So you cannot go and install your classic backup vendor software. But different vendors, like for example also Veeam does, they offer solution which you can do in-guest backup, right?
Okay.
So there are solutions out there for that, which you can really leverage. And that's basically the part today where I can see which they are going to leverage for using backup.
So we're seeing a lot of, you know, other technologies like, say, for instance, you know, VMware on AWS. There's been a lot of chatter in the industry about that technology. You know, even they currently, you know, kind of have a lockdown permission set that don't necessarily give you direct access to, like, hypervisor, right? So that agent-based approach, if you want to protect things inside of AWS or even directly inside of Azure, you know, that agent-based approach seems to kind of be the way to go.
Absolutely. So it's the same thing as you would do in Azure, right? You have to take it in Azure or you have to run it inside the VMs and workloads. And this is just a way of, I see it like a way we went for them agent-based approach, went away and went to the host-based backup, which was great, right? If you do virtualization, that's the way to go.
Still the way to absolutely go.
Absolutely. There is no question about that. But now with the cloud approach, things are changing a little bit because we are splitting the responsibilities, right? So the responsibility for the host is, for example, in Azure, it's Microsoft. In AWS, it's AWS, which is responsible. In Azure Stack, it's kind of a mix between Microsoft and probably the vendor, the hardware vendor and things like that. And they're taking away that responsibility, but it also has some downsides to it, right? So that's where you probably then start doing another backup solution again.
So it's kind of data protection is important, but probably more important or just as important as backup is the concepts of security. So if I was to leverage a service provider that's using Azure Stack, are there capabilities of being able to encrypt my data? You know, there's the concept of shielded virtual machines. How does that play into the Azure Stack story?
So a very good question. There are different things to it in terms of security. So Microsoft, first of all, the Azure Stack is really designed to be secure by default, right? So they invested a lot and heavy in sealing that host, in implementing features like device guard and credential guard and things like that to make sure nothing happens. They're also investing in terms of certification, so they're making certification ready. So you can get out and go and get the certification for those systems. Of course, sometimes you just have to, it's also process-based, right? You have to make sure that works. And then in other parts, it's consistent with Azure. So you ask about shielded VMs, for example. So shielded VMs is something which came out with Hyper-V 2016, which is very cool. But it's not available in Azure today. So since Azure Stack is consistent with Azure, it's also not available in Azure Stack.
Okay.
Right. Even though it's using Hyper-V 2016, it would be ready, the hardware is ready, everything is ready. Since it's not available in Azure, it's not available in Azure Stack.
Gotcha.
That's the thing here. In terms of encryption, of course, everything inside is encrypted at rest level. They're using BitLocker technology to encrypt where the virtual machine is gone and things like that. So if you, for example, if you have to replace a virtual or physical disk, then you just plug it out and everything is encrypted. No one can really read it.
Right, because the hardware vendor is probably utilizing said drives so that they're, you know, the data at rest is encrypted. Plus, you mentioned BitLocker, so they're encrypting at a higher level as well.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So, you know, we talked about Azure Stack. It's really cool. You mentioned TP3 currently?
Yeah. So Microsoft released, I think, TP1 and TP2 this summer, or last summer, sorry.
Sure.
And TP3 a couple of weeks ago, I think end of March or mid of March. The next part is going to be, the next thing we know is will be the GA release, general availability, and this will be mid-2017.
Okay. And if folks wanted to learn more about Azure Stack, where would you recommend them to go and take a look at?
So definitely go to my blog.
Shameless self-plug, absolutely, go for it.
No, really, there is a lot of stuff out there. Microsoft did a really good job in documenting things this time, so they really have a good documentation on the Azure site for Azure Stack. So if you want to learn about it, there are two things I really recommend. Go for Azure Resource Manager, learn that stuff. Even in Azure, you don't have to run it on Azure Stack. You just can go out there. There's a white paper about Azure Resource Manager, which is really good, which really helps you to understand the base concept of that. And then if you really want to try out Azure Stack and what it can, you can download the POC deployment, and you can install it on a single host. It has to be, I think, 96 gigabytes of RAM and some other hardware requirements. But with that, you can basically get started on a single node deployment and kind of have a look how that looks like.
Sure.
So this is probably my recommendation to get started.
And that would all be nested, correct?
Well, no. Well, it's going to be, you can, well, we saw some blog posts out there from some guys,
right,
which did some nested deployments of that. But it's basically on the physical hardware. It does some kind of tricks. So it builds a cluster in the background, a single node cluster and things like that. It does some magic back there. And it also does some VMs and things like that. But it's not like using the nested virtual deployment in that sense.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, Thomas, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the viewers today? Anything else fun you're working on?
No, not really, actually. We talked about the most fun stuff I'm working on right now. I'm really happy to have that interview here, and it was really cool to be in that video.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Thomas. It's always great
to
see you, and we'll check you soon.